Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters.
I know you're tired. I know you're weak. I know you've been broken down, fighting defeat.
Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, and I have to admit I am on a bit of a high right now. When I have guests on who have written books, I feel obligated to read those books so that when the guest comes on, I know who they are and what to talk to them about. I don't like to just go by a list of questions and answers and like as if I don't know the person. So anyway, I read today's guest's book and just finished it about a half an hour ago. And I am on such a high from reading this book that I say bravo to the author. And you're going to find out what this book is about as we talk to the author, Will Schneider. Will is a full-time writer living in the wine country of Sonoma County, North San Francisco. He formerly worked in business development and spent years as the licensing director for the world-renowned artist Laurel Birch, as well as a national sales manager in the wine industry and high-tech arena. As an adventurer at heart and naturally drawn to the edge of things, his current passion is kayaking. And Will has equally experienced the calling to explore and push the boundaries of his inner world and has spent decades deeply immersed in the study of various metaphysical traditions. So now he has written his first novel. It's called Lucifer's Game. And I didn't put Lucifer in the title because I don't want you to interpret this in the wrong way. This is a character you really get to like. Will is currently writing a sequel to this novel focused on the shadow world of relationships, which you're going to learn a lot about in the course of the time that we're together now. So because I don't want to take up a lot of time, and I want to focus most of the time on Will and telling you his story, let's get started. So it's my privilege and honor to introduce you to the author, Will Schneider. Good morning, Will.
Hi, Randy. Good morning to you, and thank you so much for being invited onto your wonderfully cool show. I very much appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on my show. Okay.
Yeah.
So, your book is called Lucifer's Game. Whether you're playing it, whether you know it or not, What is this book about, and why did you choose that title?
Good question. Lucifer's Game, so it's a novel, as you said. It's a metaphysical tale. And what happened for me, Randy, I don't know, about 3 years ago, I got this very strong hit to the message I was getting from some deep place in myself was to give something back. I've been a student of my own. Like most of your listeners, I'm sure we're all on our own spiritual path on some level. I've been at it for decades. And the nature of a student is you're taking. So I've been absorbing information and knowledge for a long, long time. And I got this real strong message to offer something back. So I stood back and I thought, okay, I could draw from a number of different areas. And I've just seen something on my own path, on many, many others. And that is, there's like a kind of weakness that I've noticed on paths, which is, it's a tendency that we have as a spiritual seeker, as someone who's evolving, and that is, our natural tendency is to lean towards the light, right? So we create a self-image that is one where I'm kind, I'm a generous person, I'm generous, I'm forgiving, I have integrity, etc., which is great, right? Those are the very qualities that we want to engender, of course. But what about my unspiritual side? What about that whole slice of my psyche that doesn't fit that image? What am I doing with that? And what do we tend to do as a species? You know, we push it down in a way. The parts of ourselves that we reject don't get pushed out of our psyche. They just get pushed underground. And then we try to keep lids on it and always keep it out of sight. So I've seen how that, we pay a huge price for that. And I've seen it so clearly in, you know, very evolved spiritual teachers and gurus who get, so to speak, halfway up the mountain, and then take these disastrous falls from grace. So why? And what I've studied and learned over time is it's the shadow side that, if it's unexplored, it'll come up and sabotage us. So we pay a great price for that split of hanging out in my light and ignoring my shadow. So that's what I thought. I thought, there's an area, that's what I could write about. This deserves attention and inquiry. And so I didn't want to write a book in the typical form. There's some wonderful self-help books in this area. Debbie Ford, Deepak Chopra have written some wonderful books and others. So I thought what I'd do is write a story, a tale. I've always been a storyteller. So that way the reader can go on this arguably interesting ride and see someone else experience what they're going through as a tale. And then they're free to, and then I wove into the nature of the story all of this information that I was trying to get across about the dance between the light and the shadow. Mm-hmm. And so that was the genesis of Lucifer's Game.
And the character Jackson, mm-hmm. I'm just telling my listeners, the character Jackson goes to Hawaii after having a very tragic thing happen in his life, and he's very lost.
Right.
And he meets Lucifer, but Lucifer isn't red and doesn't have horns and, you know, and a pitchfork. Lucifer is this big, heavy-set, clumsy man who really teaches Jackson how to look at his dark side. And that, and Jackson wants to deny that he has it, but in the end, he finds that it really is an important thing to look at.
Right.
So Lucifer says in the book, chase after the spiritual light while ignoring your shadow side, and you're just dangerously fooling yourself, as you'll never get to wholeness. As best, it gets you to halfness. The brighter the light, the stronger the shadow. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, actually, that's something that comes right out of Carl Jung, who was the great psychologist who discovered our shadow side, that whole part of our psyche. And so what I meant by that is that ultimately the price that we pay by what I described earlier, hanging out in our light and ignoring our shadow, is that creates a split. So we have this one part of ourselves that we accept and this whole other part of ourselves that we've rejected. So if we're trying to grow spiritually, that's a problem because we're moving in the direction of the light, but we're being dragged down, mostly unconsciously, by all this weight and these parts of ourselves that are underground. And it's like an anchor around our ankles. And so ultimately what in my view, the direction of to our true nature, if there's another game plan for spirituality than getting in touch with our true nature, I don't know what it is. You know, I think the aim of the path is to come to back in touch with our wholeness, to who we actually are as a spiritual presence. And in order to create wholeness, there has to be an inner kind of balance, and where we can hold our light and our shadow and be in the middle and hold both of those sides in order to then be able to incorporate all of ourselves and then open to our deeper nature. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes. And you know, and people that are striving to be awakened, and some people think that the goal is to be godlike or you know, as pure as the white light.
Right.
And that's never going to happen because we are humans in human form, and we come here to learn and to grow. And if we come here and we are this pure white light, then what are we doing? We have no goal. We're here to explore all the sides of ourselves. Eventually, we will be that pure white light, but we have to come here and explore both sides, right?
Yeah, you got it exactly. We're dualistic beings made up of opposing forces. And the shadow exposes our duality and the truth between our human self and our divine nature. And the dark side of us points out where we're incomplete. So the direction is, from my perspective, and what I was trying to articulate in my tale, is that once one has the courage to start to see one's shadow side, then we bring our light to our shadow and by that I mean our heart, you know, our love for inner love, our sense of forgiveness, our sense of compassion. There's often so much shame and rejection that's kind of stuffed down in our basement, right?
Right.
And so it really takes a soft, gentle touch to be able to go in a loving manner and coax those parts of ourselves out of the dark in order to first acknowledge, oh, okay, there's my, you know, whatever trait of my shadow I have jammed down in there, there it is. Yeah, I can feel that. You know, really enliven it, and then own it. And then it's like it's not going to run my life, but I'm now incorporating it into my wholeness, to which it now doesn't have to sabotage me. See, that's the problem. The shadow side will come up and sabotage when we least expect it. Just as an example, Randy, just this last week I was watching this Olympic swimmer, you know, this incredible hero, gold medal winner, and what happened to him. His shadow side came out and disrupted his life and created an international mess. And now,
right.
You know, his life is a wreck. His, you know, people are running from him. And he now has to deal with that. That's an unexplored shadow coming up and sabotaging oneself. So, and then we have it's a political scene right now. How about that? You know, we have this narcissistic character who's stirring up the collective shadow, you know, all this racism and misogyny. And I could go on and on, right? But there it is, all unexplored, and it's coming to the surface. So it behooves us to really have at least bring some inquiry to this.
Absolutely. And, you know, I kind of have, I kind of see this whole thing as coming to self-love, because when I teach people who have never had self-love to come to self-love, I tell them to embrace every aspect of themselves.
Right.
That's the only way we can truly love ourselves, is if we embrace our quirks, our oddities, our looks, our weight, our, you know, flaws, all those kind of things, to be able to say, I'm cool with all that. That's me, you know.
Right.
And that's just kind of another way of saying this, embracing the shadow side. But it is the balance that brings us to self-love. And when we come to self-love, then our lives work so beautifully. It flows so well.
Exactly.
Right. So you talk about shadowlings. is that the shadow side of ourself, or what are shadowlings?
Okay, so my Lucifer character has, I just want to articulate that it's not the biblical Lucifer. It's not the Lucifer in my story has no interest in making us sin, you know, all of that. He's the champion of our shadow side. He's the one who's committed to keeping us as unconscious as possible. And thereby, all those traits that we've shoved down into our shadow world that we reject and don't want to have anything to do with, that's his world. And he keeps those parts of ourselves stoked and alive and well, and then allows them to rock it up and sabotage us at various times when we least expect it. So Lucifer, in my tale, refers to shadowlings as all the traits that are buried down in there. So are all the things that we don't want to see in ourselves. You know, so in order to write this story, I really had to go into my own, right, into my own shadow side, and be able to really see, okay, who's down there? What's down there? And so shadowlings are like the traits of, you know, my greed, for example, my jealousy, you know, even my hatred, you know, me, hatred, you know, I ask my friends, everyone thinks of me as a very loving person, which is true. I have a big heart, but buried in that, I have a capacity for hatred. And to say I don't is really, I'm kidding myself, right? So shadowlings are all of those different traits that are down in there.
Okay. So we have many. We do. We have many shadowlings.
Yeah. And each of us have different ones. You know, it depends on how we were brought up, what was unacceptable when we were children, what got shoved down and away. Yeah.
And that term shadowlings, where does that come from?
Oh, I made it up.
It's great.
I gave it. Yeah, it does kind of nail it.
It's perfect. It really does. It really makes us be able to see it. But, you know, when you can animate those kind of things, it's a lot easier to look at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. It's a cute little name, Shadowlings. It's not saying I'm filled with hatred. It's hatred is my shadowling. It's
yeah,
a lot cuter
exactly.
to say it like that.
And it helps that way to also be able to bring our heart to those parts of ourselves, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Lucifer says, see if you can find a shadowling within yourself and acknowledge that it exists. See if you can find a shadowling within yourself and acknowledge that it exists. Give it permission to fully show itself. Feel it fully without judgment. From there, with practice, you can learn to embrace it as part of yourself, as one of your own. So let's talk a little bit about something like hatred or anger or something like that. What do you see? Are those things a positive force in our life in some way?
Well, the interesting thing is that shadowlings tend to have a gift connected with them. Like, for example, Randy, I was exploring, again, going back to people who know me, consider me a generous person. I have that. I'm kind of known for that. But what about my greedy streak? So as I found that part of myself, under certain conditions, I can be very greedy, right? And I really explored it. I brought that quality, that trait into my awareness. I really saw, how does this feel? When is it triggered? What does it make me do? And what I got by exploring it, I got to see something really fascinating for myself, that at its actual root, what my greed really wants is a kind of gift, which is to make sure that I always have enough.
Okay.
At its core, that's what it really wants. But left to its own, down in my shadow, down in the basement, it overspills its boundaries, becomes something else. And when it comes out, it's like it takes too much, right? It doesn't restrict itself, and thereby it becomes this sort of greedy thing. But by now I'm aware of that part of myself. It's like, okay, I see what you're after. You want to make sure that I have enough, right? So that's true for just about every shadowling has a gift to offer, which is kind of amazing. And it's what really enhances the work, the courage to continue to dig and to explore and to enliven.
Right, and why are we so afraid of doing that?
Well, we're afraid of it because, you know, our society doesn't foster this kind of work. You know, we're all about image, right? In the Western world, and we all want to have a positive self-image. Who doesn't? I certainly do. But we're not trained, you know. We're raised in a particular, steeped in a kind of religion that thinks in terms of, you know, heaven and hell, right? Angels and demons, you know, that kind of thing. So of course, we lean into the light. And we shudder at the thought of all these other aspects of ourselves. We don't have a really balanced, intelligent kind of way to, as a people, to explore and to balance ourselves out. And so then there we have the collective shadow, the global shadow, which is, you know. I don't know how you feel about it, Randy, but our beautiful, fragile planet is just being systematically destroyed by elements of the collective shadow that will just take things and, you know, just suck all the beauty and the wealth and the positive components out of our out of this planet of ours. So yeah.
I mean, you know, this may be, I can't think of the word I want to say, but fairy tale-ish or whatever, or naive of me to think this way, but I do believe in the end that light extinguishes darkness. And
yes.
And that's what I find, you know, as I do this show and as I speak to people, and I find that there's so many people out there that are rising up to
yes.
find their consciousness and open their minds to the light. This kind of conversation could have never happened 10 years ago. Because
yeah.
I remember I used to try to sort of provoke people. I'd go out with a group of girls who I knew were not the least bit, you know, spiritual or into this stuff, and I'd throw out some kind of thing, and they'd look at me like I, you know, had three arms and, you know, four legs, and like I was something really odd. And I used to kind of get a kick
yeah.
out of that because,
right.
because, but now when I talk to people, they're getting it. They're beginning, people, everyone
yes.
is beginning to get this in some way. So
yeah.
I have hope that the light will extinguish the darkness, but yeah, but dot, dot, dot.
But, right, but it takes work.
You know, yeah, it does.
It really
right.
does. I mean, the cool thing is that our wholeness absorbs the shadow. And where if we can experience wholeness where division once existed, the wholeness overcomes the separation. And that's a beautiful thing. Wholeness, we see things exactly as they are. And in order to do that, it takes consciousness. We need to bring our light. We need to bring our presence, our awakeness to all of us.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
In your story, your character, Jackson, is, like I said in the beginning of the show, he's in a lot of pain, and rightfully
yeah.
so. And he meets up with this beautiful woman who he's just head over heels attracted to, and they have this very deep discussion. And she says this line to him, which I had to write down, "Pain is avoidable, but at some point suffering becomes optional." And I really like that.
Yeah.
I really like that because pain is not always about suffering.
Right.
And I think we get very confused by that, don't we?
I think so. I think, you know, it's actually a very powerful statement. You know, pain is unavoidable, but suffering is optional. At some point, suffering becomes optional. And often I've seen it in myself where something has caused me great pain, and that pain I'm experiencing is inevitable. It's painful. But at some point, I'm milking it. You know, I'll have that tendency to just keep squeezing the pain for one reason or another when it really wants to heal. But I don't allow it to, and so there suffering has become optional. I don't have to keep suffering, but I keep squeezing that pain to, you know, for some unconscious reason. So I think we all do that.
Right. And I, you know, I'm looking at the statement that I wrote, and I actually, there's a typo because I meant to say pain is unavoidable, and I don't know why I wrote avoidable, but it is unavoidable. And you just explained that very well. And, you know, I think a lot of people have that problem
yeah.
or that issue, let's say, when they lose a loved one, that they
right.
think that they have to continue to suffer the
mm-hmm.
loss of that person, or it means that they never loved them at all or don't miss them at
right.
all. And
yeah,
that's so
yeah.
not true.
Right.
Because when because we are very connected to the other world, the other side, and the spiritual side. And these loved ones are very much with us, and they are tied to us. As long as we suffer, they're tied to us. We need to let that go to let them go.
That's right.
So that's just really one example of why suffering is not really the best thing. We're going to suffer because we grieve. We have to grieve. That's how we heal from pain. But at some point, there has to come acceptance, and we have to be able to let that suffering go. And it's different for everyone.
It's different for everyone. And yet, as you say, sometimes we hang on to it because we feel if we don't, it's a reflection that we don't love someone enough. To use your example, which is great, think of the person maybe who we lost. Is that what they want? Would that be their choice, that we're going through our present moment, extending suffering on their behalf? I doubt it.
Right. It would take a Lucifer.
Exactly. To feel that way. Right, keep it all unconscious, keep suffering, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, we're about half hour into the show, and I want to make sure that I give you the opportunity to talk about what you feel is important that we may not have covered, or you might just want to talk about your book or promote yourself. So I give you the floor.
Oh, well, thanks. Let's see. Lucifer's Game. I really feel that I did what I set out to do, Randy, where I feel like I have offered something back, and I'm really enjoying the feedback that I'm getting from a number of different networks and areas, where it's time for us to, if we're going to move collectively and evolve, as you said earlier, there are a number of people all around the world that are, we're all growing and we're all moving in an evolving way. And bringing light to our shadow isn't something scary. It doesn't have to be, a frightening thing. It's the very ticket to creating balance. And to me, I've never been one who chases after enlightenment, you know, whatever that means. I have felt that the key to growing is balance. And when I'm in balance, then doors open. And the dance between our light and our shadow, if we can stand between those two, and a new level of wholeness opens up. And so that's the essence of my message, and that's kind of the thread that goes through the tale and the various iterations that Jackson goes through with Lucifer. The book, I love supporting local bookstores, so I'm in the computer system. Lucifer's Game can be ordered that way, or of course there's Amazon, and there's an ebook version that makes it easy. So, thank you. It's nice.
Yeah, so we're talking today with Will Schneider, S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R, Will Schneider, about his book Lucifer's Game, which I said in the beginning, and if you tuned in or started to listen late, you must read this book. It is going to open up windows of understanding that you may have never explored, but it does it in a way where you don't really realize it's happening. And when you finish the book, then that's when it hits you. And, Will, this is book one, and you have more coming?
This book, Randy, was the idea was the exploring the shadow on our individual level. The second, and where the book ends, it lends itself perfectly for the second book. I see a trilogy, the second book being how the shadow impacts us in our relationships. right? We're either in a relationship, want to be in one, have been in one, and the shadow side of our psyches are constantly interacting with each other and creating all kinds of problems. So I want to explore the shadow in relationship, and then the third book would be the collective shadow, really shining light, how Lucifer's game is being played out on the global scale, and the impact that that's having on us.
Now, nearing the end of the book, you actually have the power to make Lucifer go away. He gives you the power, thinking you're going to play his game, and you turn it around and use it to make him go away. Yeah. Where does he go when you do that?
Yeah, well, I think that, I mean, the ultimate point of my story is that we turn the tables and beat Lucifer at his own game. But in order to do that, we have to understand what his game is, the whole idea of keeping us unconscious, keeping the shadow down out of our sight, keeping us from bringing our light to our shadow side. So I don't think, you know, I think it's an ongoing exploration. I think that the shadow evolves is what happens, that instead of it being this thing that we're shunning, it becomes incorporated, and then all this energy gets released that we're unconsciously putting on, keeping the lid screwed on all these parts of ourselves. And so I think that, you know, Lucifer takes on his nature will continue. It's not like he goes away. I think he'll continue to try to work his mischief with us. Like, look at, you can, so many examples of very high beings, as I said earlier, that get ensnared. So it's an ongoing sort of awareness of what his game is and how am I playing it and how am I turning the tables so that I'm not playing his game, I'm playing my own.
Very, very smart. I like that. I like that. So where do you think religion gets this heaven and hell thing? And is there some relationship to what you've experienced, or, I mean, what you've, I don't know what to call it, but your concept? Is there some relationship to your concept?
Between heaven and hell?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a whole conversation unto itself. I feel that, and it's something that gets explored a bit in the story where Lucifer, Jackson asks Lucifer, well, hey, is there a hell? And basically he says, Jackson basically explains, Lucifer says, well, what do you think? And Jackson really gives sort of my perspective, which is, no, you know, I think that hell is something concocted by some old patriarchal old farts centuries ago when Christianity was being formed from the beautiful enlightened teachings of Jesus and being turned into an organized dogmatic religion. And so it went from, it started shifting from a path of love, you know, the Christ consciousness, the sacred heart, to a fear-based dogmatic path of, you know, there's this heaven you're going to get to if you toe the line, and there's everlasting hellfire you're going to fall into if you don't, right? And that's, talk about a scary concept. No wonder we don't want to explore our shadow side with that sort of embedded in our psyche. So, yeah, I have.
Yeah, I mean, it's guilt. That's what it is. Guilt has been put upon us.
Yeah.
To behave.
Right.
And when you behave, you're only looking at one aspect of yourself, because nobody can behave all the time.
Right. See, that's, I think that's a really good point, because by behaving according to these rules, that is the very thing that creates that split. These things are acceptable in me, and these other qualities are not. So where do they go?
Right.
Off the table,
right.
down and away. So.
And in the sake of a parent-child relationship, that is conditional love. And so that's never good for children when parents do that. If you behave, I'll love you and give you things. If you don't behave, you get punished.
Right.
And that's very confusing. And I guess maybe that's really where it starts, because that's how so many people have been taught to parent. Not me. I don't parent like that. But I was parented like that, and so therefore I do not parent like that.
Yeah,
we're coming down to the end of the show, and I've had such a great time, and I'm so glad to have met you and to have had the privilege of reading Lucifer's Game. And again, to my listeners, this is a book you want to read. You really want to read this. You will love this book. It's entertaining. This is not heavy, you know. This is very entertaining, and you're going to love the story. So, Will, it's been absolutely wonderful having you.
Thank you, Randy. And I tell you, you are a delightful and very deep person, and I can feel that. I'm sure that the emotional well-being that you bring to your audience is a real gift, and I'm very grateful to have shared this time with you.
Thank you so much. That's what I want to bring to the world, so... I'll partner with you, Will.
Yeah.
We can do it together. But anyway, thank you so much again, and it's just been my ultimate pleasure. And I hope our paths cross again.
Yes, I do too. That would be really great. I would love that.
All right. So I have to say goodbye. Anyway, thank you again, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Yeah, thank you, Randy, and thanks to your listeners for tuning in. I appreciate that.
Okay. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show or any other shows, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And remember, Randy is always spelled with an I, RANDIGFINE.com. My website is the same. It's not loveyourlife@randygfine.com. It's just randygfine.com. And if you go there, you will find articles of all sorts. I have hundreds and hundreds of articles and links to things that you'll find interesting based on your needs and your point, you know, your point of wellness and what you're trying to achieve. So you'll find a lot there, as well as links to every show that I've done. And I have done, probably 700 of them. So there's a lot to listen to. There's something for everybody. And all my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. So thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host, author, and life issues counselor, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.